Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, thank you, Voice of God, for that great intro. Andrew Carlson producing tonight, as always, such a big part of the show. Welcome into Soccer Matters tonight, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Now, we will get to the U.S. Costa Rica. We will preview this game over the next two segments. We'll talk about who has gotten to the World Cup. There's been a number of results via playoffs that have gotten national teams their glory and have also dispelled a couple of regulars and big-name national teams. So we will get to that tonight. We will also, in the second hour, there'll be a number of interviews with Pat Onstad, Marcelo Balboa, and also DeMarcus Beasley. Three very good interviews. Pat Onstad will get you up on everything Houston Dynamo. And believe me, I asked him, I think, everything that's of real relevance in the moment here. So I think Dynamo fans will like that. But at 8 o'clock, the U.S. will take on Costa Rica. And we're looking forward to that. So this first part of the show, you are welcome to call in and get your thoughts in on the U.S. Before we do that, though, I put out on Twitter that I am dedicating this show tonight to an amazing young man, amazing friend, a man named Freddie Reyes. 2 days ago, Freddie passed away after getting cancer. Now, get this, for a fourth time. He knocked it off 3 times, got it again. I just want you to dwell on that for a second and think about that in the context of life. Now, I got to know Freddie when he was a teenager and when he got his first diagnosis, because I was going down to the hospital visiting patients. I had a bunch of soccer balls that Joe Ellsmore would send me from Nike. I was a great friend to Dr. Pat Thompson, who, you know, encouraged these visits, and they became wonderful experiences, incredibly grounding from a personal standpoint. I think anybody that goes into a room with cancer patients, pediatric cancer patients, it's I don't even know what to say. It is so grounding. It makes you reflect on so many things. And then the idea was to go in there and hand out soccer balls and have some fun conversation, talk to parents, find out about where they were from. You'd have to read the room, and you'd have to understand if people really wanted to talk or if maybe they didn't. And you got all different types. And if they didn't, you exited stage left very, very quickly. But some of the most amazing times I've ever had because of Freddie Reyes. I asked Freddie, once he had improved his diagnosis, if he would like to join and go room to room with me, along with another cancer survivor named Eileen Dowd. The reason being is, there is nobody who can walk in that room that will be as impactful as these two young people were when it came to hope and possibility and for, you know, the patients and their families. Remarkable stuff. I don't care what athlete you are. If you're a survivor of cancer and you're going in a room and somebody's fighting cancer, these are people that get your attention. Freddie did this. And he was studying, you know, dignity, pride. I'd use a word like incredibly humble, positivity. When you're thinking of what he's going through. The other night I was cutting through flipping through is the word I'm looking for, flipping through a bunch of photos. Every single photo with him, either visiting kids or he has a smile ear to ear. And again, I look at it and I go, knowing, you know, the chemo, all of the various surgeries, all the things that challenged him. And when I looked at his challenges and his approach to life, boy, you get instant perspective. Like I said, the smile infectious. You know, this man in a shorter life will have lived a more bountiful life than many who last longer when it comes to just age and years. So we also had Ellen Bennett of Texas Children's Hospital, who would guide us to the rooms and tell us about the patients before we went in. But Freddie was a superstar, superstar. He'd bring a smile to the face of the patients. And because they were survivors, again, they brought a very amazing hope and possibility to youth and their parents. I never forget Freddie walking into a room to a young man who, you know, looked really down. His mother was laying on a couch, which, as we all know, a lot of times parents are sleeping in hospitals next to their children. They're trying to balance work and life while going through this incredibly traumatic period. And I remember Freddie asking a young man what type of cancer he had, and Freddie said, "Oh yeah, I've had that. I beat it twice." And his mother, literally getting off the couch, who didn't look interested in any of us till she heard that, and she literally came across the room and stood face to face with Freddie, asking him about the disease. So these are moments indelibly etched in my brain. I'll never forget these things. Now, both Freddie and Eileen both consistently spoke at Kick Cancer soccer clinics as well. But like I said, I've had many remarkable visits and rooms and saw this absolute magic and faith passed on by Freddie. Tonight's show is dedicated to Freddie Reyes. We'll never forget him. Our hearts and condolences out to Freddie's beautiful wife, Perla, who I've gotten to know, and the entire Reyes family. Incredible people. I do want to read a real quick post here from Eileen Dowd that you can find on Facebook. She says, "To my longest and dearest friend, Freddie, no words can amount to the heartache I feel for the world to have lost such a wonderful, impactful, and beautiful human being. You had a smile that could light up a room, a personality that was one of a kind, and a heart of gold. Cancer did not win. Heaven gained an angel. Your family gained a guardian angel. And most importantly, you are free of this disease. Rest easy, my friend. Love you always, Eileen." So tonight, Soccer Matters dedicated to Freddie Reyes. That's where we're at. We're going to get into soccer talk. I think we have a caller already. Let's go to Bogdan. Bogdan, you're on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call, Glenn. Somber mood, but beautiful words you said. I've never met Freddie. I've seen a lot of pictures of him, and the work he's done off the pitch, as we like to call it. I guess his pitch was the hospital. It seems like he was such a pro. You know, going, delivering soccer balls to the kids and, you know, his brethren in a way, right? And you're right. I think you touched on that. It's, the pain is gone now. But, you know, I couldn't think. The one thing that really stuck to me is just how just ridiculous we are sometimes in our society. We worry about Will Smith and slap and, you know, Deshaun Watson, and, you know, we idolize these guys who just really are just, I'm sorry, they're just clowns to us. But it's just very sad that we make heroes out of those folks when we have heroes right in front of us, right next door to us, sometimes right behind us. We don't pay attention. And, you know, very nice of you to dedicate the show and really to mention him and immortalize him in many ways. And, you know, kudos to you for doing what you do for kids' cancer. And I know sometimes people just like to tag along and do things and not too many kind of push through. But I think this is a time for us to maybe look inwards. And I think you put things in perspective right now to see what really matters, right? guys like Freddie are who we need to pay our respects to on a regular basis, honestly, and to help out. And I think they teach us a valuable lesson. I think we all take whatever we want out of it. But beautifully said, sir.
Well, right back at you. Thank you for bailing me out, and your words really ring in truth. Thank you, Bogdan, for that. We appreciate it. So that's some good testimony there from Bogdan. Yeah, well, I can tell you, I agree with him. My heroes are people like Freddie and people that are pushing through bigger problems. All right, so let's get into the United States men's national team taking on Costa Rica in about 50 minutes. I don't know if the lineups came out. Andrew Carlson, if at any point you see those lineups come out on Twitter, I do know there's been some photos out with the United States men's national team walking the field. They have arrived. That's probably, here it is. I think we got it right here. So here's the starting 11 against Costa Rica. Zach Steffen. DeAndre Yedlin will make his way back in after being suspended. Walker Zimmerman, who has been excellent, will get the start. Let's see, who's the other? Miles Robinson should be the other center back. Anthony Robinson has been getting up and down that left side. Had that beautiful cross to Paul Areola in the dismantling of Panama. Your midfield, Tyler Adams. How mature has that guy been? Tyler Adams. Plays almost two complete games on a yellow card. You listen to him speak. You see that moment with his father after the game. He was raised by step-parents in Poughkeepsie, New York, and used to make the drive down to Red Bulls. I got to tell you, I love this team. I love this team. I love the youth on this team. I love their maturity. I love them grabbing a hold of it. I love the possibility they're going to bring. This kid, to me, epitomizes everything, and I just love the way he handles himself. He's mature. He is a leader. He's unassuming, yet goes about his business so professionally, and it's just so impressive to see. I mentioned Anthony Robinson. Midfield, Yunus Musah. Kellen Acosta and Tyler Adams. So Acosta makes his way back into the lineup. And again, this is a U.S. team without personalities like Weston McKennie, Serginho Dest, among others. And then up front, Ricardo Pepi goes into the nine position for Ferreira. And then you've got Tim Weah making his way back in. Had to sit out the last game. And of course, the leader, Christian Pulisic, wearing number 10. All right, again, we're taking phone calls at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Let's go to Josh. Josh is on the line now. Josh, what's happening?
Glenn, I just wanted to say that I was a marginal fan up until I started listening to your show, and just the love that you have for soccer is infectious, and it is taking over me. And your shout out this morning or at the start of the show for Mr. Reyes and everything that he did is just and Bogdan made a great point. He said we idolize these people, but we miss the mark on so many other actual heroes that are with us every single day. And I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you do for the game of soccer. I'm a new fan, but I'm a hardcore fan.
Well, Josh, thanks for those kind words. If you stay on hold, Andrew Carlson will get your information, and I'll get you some tickets to a Dynamo game, okay?
That would be beautiful.
Yep. Stay on hold with Andrew.
Absolutely stay on hold.
And we will get you some tickets to an upcoming game, okay?
Thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep bringing this game forward. I love it. Like I said, I'm new to the game, but I'm addicted to it.
It's great to hear, Josh. Thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Yes, sir. 713. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Have a good night.
Very nice, Josh. 713-780-3776. He echoes Bogdan's statement as well. I thought Bogdan was right on with his thoughts. 713-780-3776. So we gave you the U.S. Lineup. There's a lot of thought around this that basically Costa Rica, this should be a sellout, obviously. This is that new stadium. So here's another thing in CONCACAF I want to bring up because I was thinking about this today. China built Costa Rica this huge stadium that I believe has a track. If I remember the last time I watched the game, it has a track field around it. They have lost, like Mexico, some of their real home field advantage. No question. I've been and called games from Saprissa Stadium in Costa Rica. Fans were right on top of you. That place was considered as rough and tough a place to play as in any place in CONCACAF. So, you know, you think about that. They accept the new stadium from China. I don't know what that whole deal was. Obviously, it's gaining some sort of favors. But you leave Saprissa Stadium and you give away a lot. We talked about this with Mexico and Azteca as well. Azteca Stadium. The mystique is not there. I'm going to ask Marcelo Balboa about that tonight in the second hour. All right, this show tonight dedicated to Freddie Reyes. Appreciate the wonderful and beautiful calls there from Josh and Bogdan. Thank you. It's good to sometimes think about really what's important, man. All right, we'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Little GNR break. Reminder about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They'll do it for you 24/7. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. There's only one law firm. It's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They get Soccer Matters on the air here on the legendary ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Big night in CONCACAF. Panama taking on Canada. Jamaica at home against Honduras. Mexico, El Salvador, Costa Rica, United States. U.S. a win or a draw, they're through. They could even lose, I think, 6-0 or 5-0. So a lot of thoughts around this, saying that Costa Rica will be pretty much focused on believing that they're going to be playing in that fourth place game. They're not going to try to go for the 6-0 win, and they're going to basically put a differing lineup out here, and we'll try to get that lineup here shortly. And maybe, Andrew, you can look that up. I think it might be out there if you can find it, and then maybe you can read it to us. But they got a number of guys on yellow cards that they don't want to have miss out on the playoff, which will take place in June. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. The show tonight dedicated to Freddie Reyes. Freddie, a huge beacon of life, inspired so many people, passed away 2 days ago. Just an amazing, amazing man. All right, this segment brought to you by Advantage BMW Midtown. Advantage BMW Midtown, you go down there, they'll take you through sales, service, the financing part of it. Can be done easy. You can get in a sedan. It's the ultimate driving machine. You go down there. You ask for Josh. You ask for Steven. Excuse me. You ask for Justin. That's who you ask for, Justin or Steven down there. And you go down there and you test drive some of these vehicles, and you get in one of these machines. They're fantastic. I have an X5, an SUV, which I took all the way to New Jersey, which I've told you on this show. All right, we got callers. Enough of my talk here. Let's go to Tom. Tom, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, first off, I just want to say, I want to echo what some of the other callers already said. Great start to the show. Always nice to step back and remember these important things. I guess turning towards the game tonight, I want to get your thoughts on, obviously, the strategy tonight, wonder if you see a Mourinho-type strategy where you're strategy of that type, but certainly the roster you're putting out there on the field tonight, looks like they're, no love lost. You're going to play the big guys. And want to get your thoughts on, Tim Weah and Pepe. I think there's a big game for them. It's getting pretty crowded at that at those positions, especially, I think Areola coming on last game, really high energy, I think no doubt was a cog in the victory. And so, and then when Aronson gets healthy, I think he's definitely competing for one of those spots. I want to get your thoughts on specifically those two players tonight.
Well, first of all, you're beautifully describing an unparalleled level of depth that we've had that we've never, ever had before, I don't believe. I want to just put it in context here. You got a lot of 19, 20, and 21-year-olds. They're playing on clubs like Juventus. They're playing on Dortmund. They're playing on Chelsea. They're playing in the Champions League. And they're going to get a World Cup here coming up, and they're going to get another one. That's going to be held in the United States. It's going to go to, I think, 48 teams or something, which I can't stand that, but whatever. That's the commercialization of the game, and we fight that every day. But I do believe that the depth is something that plays out. I don't think you've got to set 11 over the course of three games in seven or eight games, right? And I think we hear that all the time from lots of different people. Tim Weah, I've liked his growth a lot. I think the striker position is kind of up for grabs. I think it might have been Brian Dunseth bringing up the potential of, let's bring back Josie out the door. I completely disagree. I think the chemistry here, the camaraderie, the esprit de corps is something exceptional. And I don't think you want to knock that out of balance right now. This is a new national team. These guys are embracing it. They're taking it to another level. I can understand where Brian was coming from as a hold up player, but somebody else, might even develop, between now and the World Cup. Somebody else is definitely going to develop between now and the World Cup in the United States in 2026. And, with Ferreira, Pepe, these guys, you've got competition at that position, and guess what? That's a good thing. I think it was very smart to start Paul Areola by Greg Berhalter. I think he's done a wonderful job, and especially in this round here, based on all these differing injuries. When you looked at Weston McKennie and all these guys dropping, you're kind of going, wow, this is really not good heading into this. And I think he's done a remarkable job of putting lineups together, trusting his players, and who wouldn't trust Tyler Adams. So for me, he's pulled the right strings. Now, to play Paul Areola in front of Shaq Moore when we got depleted at the right back position, Shaq Moore did a fine job. I think to put Areola in there, who's a little bit more dedicated, responsible defensively, as opposed to maybe what was the people's choice of putting Gio Reyna in there. I think Greg Berhalter, hands down, 100% made the right decision. So great competition throughout this team. You got people that step in tonight like DeAndre Yedlin. You got Kellen Acosta stepping in. You got differing people stepping up, producing. I love Walker Zimmerman's rise at the national team level, incredibly honest. I love Adams's rise. You got people doing a lot of different things. Christian Pulisic stepping up and taking control in the last game was fantastic. So, Tom, thank you for the kind words. Let's keep the phone calls coming here. 713-780-3776. Julio, what do you got, Julio?
Hi. Just want to start off by saying, rest in peace to Mr. Reyes. I recently lost my father to lung cancer, and I'm a huge fan of the U.S., and he was a big fan as well of the U.S. And this is really my first qualifying matches that I'm going to be watching alone because, it was always a thing to watch it with him. But just wanted to state that out there, and I'm excited about today. I guess my question is, do you think the U.S. goes for the win to be in a better seating for Friday's group staging?
So, Julio, first of all, let me just say I'm very sorry about your father. And thank you for that testimony, because, you know, we also have to remember the effects it has on family members, right? And by the way, our great friend of this show and author, Tom Clare, continues to fight this rancid disease. So condolences to you, Julio. I think without any question tonight, with this group of players, these guys want to finish this. Look, you don't want to go out of this World Cup you know, losing 2-0 tonight down in Costa Rica. You want to win this. You want to be aggressive. You want to do the things that you've been doing. You want to tag this with an exclamation point, that Panama game, and you want to keep everybody on a high, excited about this youthful group under Greg Berhalter. And I don't think there's any question. I don't think this is a sit back. No, this is a team that's going to pick and choose its moments to press high, but they're going to play an aggressive game. That's what they're based on. No question tonight, they're going into this game to win in San Jose, Costa Rica.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good night.
All right, Julio, you too. Thank you for your testimony about your father. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. And, well, Keylor Navas is in goal. Let's see. It's Carlos Martinez, Chacon, Kendall Waston, Venegas, Lawrence, Aguilera, Gallo, I believe, Mora, Bennett, and Contreras. So they're protecting some of the guys that are on yellow cards so they don't lose them for the playoff match. So, you know, it looks like that's the way Costa Rica is going about it here tonight under their manager, Luis Suarez. So 713-780-3776. So we've had quite a lot of teams qualify for the World Cup. Of course, Qatar is the host country. On Friday, we'll have the draw. That's in Qatar. I think that's maybe around, might be around 11 o'clock our time. 32 teams are at the World Cup. There'll be eight groups of four. And again, I can't stand the commercialization of the World Cup. You're going to slowly siphon out all the things that make it unique. We're going to, what, 42 or 48 teams and, you know, in the next World Cup in 2026, which will be hosted by the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. All right, so who's qualified? Let's talk about it. We got Qatar as the hosts, Germany out of UEFA, Denmark out of UEFA, Brazil out of CONMEBOL, Serbia out of UEFA, Spain out of UEFA, France out of UEFA, Belgium, guess I don't have to say UEFA, Netherlands, Croatia, Switzerland, England, Poland, Portugal. Portugal was a playoff winner. Poland was as well. Argentina, top four in South America and CONMEBOL, along with Ecuador, Uruguay. Canada, which first time since 1986, so happy for our neighbors to the north. They're going to take the funds from qualifying for this World Cup. They're going to have a lot of disposable income to do things. They've got a Canadian league that sits below sort of the MLS teams in Canada. You got Senegal, who won the playoffs. Sadio Mane again hitting a penalty to knock out Mo Salah and Egypt. Ghana, playoff victors in Africa over the Super Eagles of Nigeria. That's a big blow. I don't know if you saw the end of that. And then, of course, the fans ran on the field. It was a nightmare. It was a disgrace, destroying things. And the Black Stars beat Nigeria in Nigeria. Morocco won a playoff. Tunisia won a playoff. Cameroon also won a playoff with Nuhu from the Seattle Sounders. Iran, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, and Japan. You still have a European playoff with Wales, who will face the winner of Scotland and the Ukraine. That's been postponed, obviously, until June due to Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. Italy has missed out for a second World Cup. Unbelievable. I mean, that's something about the World Cup without the Azzurri, right? It's one of the great soccer-playing nations in the history of the World Cup. No question. I love that Ecuador got in the top four. It's great for them. And our great friend, Cindy Bourbano, who's from Ecuador. Peru will be in the Confederation playoff. So lots of, you know, real drama with these playoff matches. And, of course, the group stage will take place in Qatar, November 21st to December 2nd. December 3rd to 6th is the round of 16. December 9th and 10th, the quarterfinals. And then the semifinals, December 13th and 14th, the World Cup final, December 18th, right before Christmas. Premier League and all these leagues are going to be on hold for this. And, of course, there's a tremendous amount of controversy around Qatar. Let's face it. When it was awarded to Qatar, a lot of people came out right away. Working conditions, human rights, all these things. Russia got it as well, right? I don't know what to say. You know, where isn't there corruption these days? I mean, I hate to say that, but and the game begins to get commercialized. It's controlled by a lot of people that don't have a deep root of belief and passion for the sport. And I think we have to watch that in Major League Soccer, too. Be careful we don't become too corporate and too commercial. I get that's a part of it. I get people want to make money. I got no problem with that. But there has to be a balance between the commercial and the passion of the game. That's been a problem for us here in Houston, which is, you know, I believe Ted Siegel is changing for the Houston Dynamo. I mean, can you imagine? We haven't gone after the international soccer fan full bore in this town. There you go. No Mo Salah in Egypt. Maybe the best player in the world. He's not going to be at the World Cup. No Zlatan Ibrahimovic for Sweden. No Erling Haaland for Norway. No Italy. No Nigeria. Too bad. Dynamo at Miami this Saturday. Catch that game on AT&T Sportsnet. Eddie Robinson and I will have the call for that. The under-23 Dynamo 2 team will play on Sunday. Tonight, the Houston Dash are in action. And then 93,000 for Barcelona-Real Madrid Women's Champions League match. Unbelievable. I mean, that's what you call brand loyalty, too. But what a moment for women's soccer. 93,000. That's the largest ever crowd for a women's soccer game. Hey, by the way, Ruud van Nistelrooy, remember him? Striker for Manchester United, for the Netherlands. Now the coach at PSV. You have to love that. Okay, coming up, U.S. will be taking on Costa Rica. There was a quote I wanted to read to you here, and it was a very good one. It's not really a quote. I'm going to paraphrase it. But Tyler Adams spoke a lot about this generation that has taken over the national team, and he calls it a brotherhood. If you were on the media, you would get some of these sounds. So here's Tyler Adams on the team's maturity, how it's grown leaps and bounds. And we've watched this in front of our own eyes. This is what's exciting about this team. Not only are they good right now, they're also maturing right in front of our eyes. Here's Tyler Adams.
We've learned a lot as a group so far throughout this journey. And, you know, one of the big takeaways I take throughout this is the maturity that we've gained in game management and how we kind of manage each and every game. We've learned that, you know, no game that we're going to have is going to be easy. You know, you can't go into any game with the expectation that you're going to blow a team away. You know, even when you look at the last game against Panama, it wasn't our best performance by any means, and Panama had chances and they could have scored goals. And you look back on these performances and you have to see how you can improve. But, you know, one thing I would really take away is how difficult the away games are. You know, going to these away venues, you know, nothing comes easy. You have to take your chances when you can.
How about that? You got to love that kid. Unbelievable. And he's right. You know why? Because Coco Carrasquilla of the Houston Dynamo dipped that left shoulder a little bit more. That maybe is on target. Could have put them up 1-0. And then the U.S., after they scored, had a moment that wasn't very good that could have led to a 1-1 draw. So the margins of mistakes and things that happen in these games, so slight. All right. Big thank you, as always, to everybody tuning in here tonight. I want to thank Julio. And maybe when we'll come back, Andrew, let's play that soundbite for Julio about from Greg Berhalter coming back from break, where He says, we're focused on winning this match. If we can weave that in somewhere, that would be good, because the U.S. are going out to win this thing against Costa Rica and finish this World Cup qualifying with aplomb. All right, we'll take a break. Big thank you to all of our sponsors, Advantage BMW in Midtown, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. You will hear from Jan Christensen. I would love it if tonight, based on the fact that we are dedicating this show to Freddie Reyes, that people would pick up a Soccer Matters t-shirt, because all the proceeds go to a Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity to fight pediatric cancer. And any of those shirts that are picked off tonight, we know Freddie's got a huge part of all this. Freddie Reyes, take a break.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Our focus is on winning this game. You know, we said at the start of the window we had three games, and our focus was to try to win each one of them, and this is no different. So it's kind of easy when you have that mentality from the beginning. You know, I know there was questions early on about what lineup we were going to play against Mexico or how we're going to approach that game, and, you know, it doesn't change. Our mentality is to win, and we want to try to win tomorrow.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. 92.5 going all the way down to Beaumont, Texas. And I do know there are a lot of soccer fans down there. Lamar University has a women's soccer team. So one thing to remind you of real quick here, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. They're on Fondren. Get over there. See Jan Christensen. We do the Danish Dynamite segment with Jan. DanishInspirations.com, the best in modern contemporary furniture. And for years have been sponsors of this show. They keep soccer on the airwaves. So when you're thinking of modern contemporary furniture, you think of Danish Inspirations. All right. He's former U.S. national team center back. You remember him from the Colorado Rapids in Major League Soccer. You see him on TV, both in English and Spanish. He is Marcelo Balboa. He joins us now. Marcelo, how are you?
Buddy, I am good, but I think I need one of those orange Soccer Matter shirts. I don't want to say anything. I've been on so many times.
All right, say no more. We will get you one, and I will. When we get off this interview here, we will get your full address. Even though I think I've been to where you used to live, but all right. So look, you were down. You were in Orlando for this magnificent win over Panama. A lot of uplifting play in this. Again, we get reminded of the youth of this team. Some of your takeaways from being down there calling that game.
You know what? I got to say, I was a little surprised about Panama, the way they came out the first 15 minutes and pressed the USA and made them feel uncomfortable. And I was like, okay, they're going to sit back. They're going to try to maybe get out of there 1-1, 0-0. Pleasantly surprised. I liked that they came out because that forced the U.S. to wake up quickly. It took them about 15 minutes to settle down, the nerves. They knew what a big game it was. And I think once they settled down, they started finding the spaces. And then again, simple errors. I mean, I've never seen a PK like that where the ball's in the air and Godoy's just smacking Zimmerman in the face, trying to get him away from the ball. So I think just a lot of pressure on Panama for, let's be honest, screwing up at home. They screwed up at home, tying 1-1 against Honduras, and little mistakes just hurt them that day.
Marcelo Balboa joining us here, Colorado Rapids analyst, of course, does all the games for 2DNA, and we saw him on the coverage of the U.S.-Panama. Marcelo, I was not surprised, though, by Anibal Godoy, because I've seen him do that in Major League Soccer before, and he was the captain of Panama, and that's the guy you would expect to have the best in emotional control.
You know, I get it. For me, this Panama team overachieved anyway. At the beginning, I didn't think they were that great. And no disrespect to Panama, but when you look at the other teams, you were just waiting for something because Panama took off too quick, way too quick at the beginning. And you knew Costa Rica would find their feet eventually. You know what I mean? But it's hard to believe that a guy with that much experience, a captain, knowing there's VAR, knowing there's a referee right there, that you would go to the face. That's an easy call. If he's pulling a shirt, the referee can maybe say that that's normal. But when you take two shots to the face from Godoy, I mean, and two mistakes, let's be honest, two mistakes for two penalties right there. I mean, that, listen, that gave, as soon as that ball went in the back of the net, you saw this relief. You saw this tension come off the U.S. And all of a sudden they opened up and started playing. And again, when you need your captain to put your team on the back, Pulisic put that team on his back finally and said, let's go. We're going to go to World Cup. And he did.
Is that a watershed moment, you think, for Christian Pulisic here, stepping up like this?
I think it was for us fans to finally see Christian step up. We know what he can do. We've seen it with Chelsea. And I think for him, I think he knows that he's the leader of that team. But we wanted to see it happen. And it was against Panama. I think if he can do something like this in a World Cup, lead his team to a victory, I think that's that next step. But he needed to take that big step, and he put the team on his back in an under pressure. Because let's be honest, this is a group of 23 to 24-year-old men who have never played in a World Cup, who are trying to qualify for the first time. They're trying to take the shadow of what happened in 2018 in Bruce Arena's team and erase that a little bit. So, yeah, I thought it was a watershed moment for Christian putting the team on his back and doing his worm at the end there.
Yeah, I think the average age is around what you said, but there's a lot of guys even younger. I mean, Gio Reyna, 19. Yep. I mean, this is what excites me, Cello. The depth of the team, the age of the team.
Yeah.
Get to this World Cup. You bank all that experience. Then it's at home. They're playing on clubs like Juventus, Chelsea.
Yep.
How does this relate to you from basically the situation you guys were in 94, where, you know, you were all in California, you're all working under Bora. Boy, it is really amazing to probably look at this through your lens.
It's night and day. You know, the advantages these young men have of being able to play day in and day out in one of the top leagues in the world, to deal with that kind of pressure, to deal with the media. We had apartments in Mission Viejo where we had to go out and train every day. The only benefit we had, Glenn, is that we got beat up in the 1990 World Cup. We got reality handed to us, and that opened up our eyes. And I think for us, that was that moment that we realized, oh, crap, this is what a World Cup's about. You know what I mean? We knew what qualifying was about because we went through it, but it's nothing near the pressure of playing in a World Cup. Millions of eyes are on you, cameras, reporters, people writing, talking about you. And we learned a valuable lesson. And that valuable lesson we took into 91, 92, 93, and bam, 94. So it was a learning lesson. These young men it'll be different for them. They're playing in some of the biggest leagues in the world against some of the biggest teams, some of the biggest players. We, as 20-something-year-olds, saw them for the first time in a World Cup. And that's an awe moment for us because these are guys you look up to. These are guys you see play day in and day out, and you step on the field and it's like an that's Baggio. You know what I mean? It was one of those, like, oh my God. So 94 was different. 94 is like, we're here. We're here to prove ourselves now. Now bring it on. Bring us your best, and we're gonna show you what we can do. And it wasn't a cockiness, it was a confidence that we experienced our asses handed to us. And we knew what it was going to be like now playing in the 94 World Cup. These young men aren't going to get their asses handed to them. I can tell you right now in Qatar, but they're going to learn what a World Cup is, because I can tell you, Christian and all of these guys dreamed about playing in this World Cup. So when they step on that field that first day, listen, it's going to go two ways. Either they're going to struggle or they're going to surprise the hell out of everybody in Qatar and make a great run. So we'll see.
Marcelo Balboa joining us here. So I'm going to go right to Tyler Adams. In the absence of Weston McKennie and all the injuries the team had, I just thought him playing with a yellow card against Mexico, the majority of the game against Panama, I thought his maturity exceptional for a young man of his age. I'm very, very impressed with this kid.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because we were talking about this the other day. Before the Mexico game, if you would have said a 0-0 tie, would you take it? Before the Mexico game started.
I take a nil-nil draw, yeah.
Would you have taken that result?
I think so, but I think it was a winnable game.
No. I'm just saying, before the game, would you have taken a tie?
I would have, yeah.
Okay. After the game, how did you feel?
Disappointed.
There you go. Yeah. That's how far we've come. Yeah. That's how far we've come in this country.
But I'm going to counter that with, and I need to ask you this, because you're around the Univision and Tudene crew. Has the mystique at Azteca been damaged? In other words, because, one, the players hardly ever play there. Two, the Federation schedules all their games in the U.S. because they're following the money trail. I get the sense that that mystique is really kind of gone.
I will answer the Tyler question, but let me go to the Mexico.
Tyler first.
Okay. Tyler, a silent, quiet leader who demands respect, who controls his midfield, who organizes his team, and he's not afraid. Listen, he laid a tackle the other day against Panama that probably should have been a yellow card. Dropped the shoulder, laid into a guy, but he's not afraid. So that midfield relies on him to keep the middle locked, to keep Weston organized, to keep Musa organized, to keep that back line organized. He is the key to that midfield for me, because no matter who you threw in there, you threw Acosta in there the other day. Did you see a difference? People were talking about, do they really miss Weston McKennie? Yeah, we miss Weston McKennie, but Tyler does such a good job of organizing that group and leading that group.
Do you call him the most cerebral guy out of that group?
I would call him the most cerebral, the most intelligent. Even De La Torres. Did you realize that? Did they really skip a beat with De La Torres in there? And let me say this. De La Torres right now deserves to be on that 23-man roster for the World Cup. He's played the last two games. When he gets the ball, he's not afraid to go forward. He's not afraid to dribble. He's not afraid to penetrate any line. And I love that about him. So, yeah, I think that Tyler Adams is the key. And I think, listen, there's a lot of players, but the spine of your team's always got to be key. And right now, when you can look at the leadership of Zimmerman, the leadership of Tyler Adams, then the leadership of Pulisic on that front line, that's a pretty good spine. Because you see when you watch Christian, he slides into the middle a little bit sometimes. So I would think you've got a leader on each line. Now about Azteca. The reason why it's lost its mystique, we'll say, or its shadow that no one can win there. Okay. When I played there, there was 110,000 people. Okay. They played you at Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Stadium is packed. Everybody on the national team, 90% of that team played for Club America, who plays in Azteca. Back then, Cruz Azul played in Azteca and Necaxa played in Azteca. All of their players played there and were used to altitude. Okay. Over the last 10 years, they've gone away from that because a lot of their players have gone to Europe. So they're not used to the altitude. So they're not as strong as efficient as they used to be. They get just as tired as we do now. And we saw that the other day. The fact that they play at 7 o'clock at night, where it's a lot cooler than it is at Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the grass is short. Before, when I played, it was at least 3 inches long. The ball would slow down. They would make your legs feel heavy. They would water the field before 1 o'clock, right before the game, so the heat and the humidity would rise. So, yeah, I think the advantages they had are absolutely gone. And no one, and no disrespect, no one's really afraid to go in there. Canada got a result. Costa Rica got a result. We won't even talk about Panama losing 1-0 to that mysterious PK that no one saw. And the U.S. went in and got a draw.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you about Azteca?
Honduras has done some things in the past there, too.
Yeah. So listen, I love playing there, and I wish we would play more games there. And but at the end of the day, I think it has lost that because the fact that players are no longer playing Mexico aren't used to the altitudes. They're at disadvantage just like we are.
All right. So that's part one with Marcelo Balboa, the former U.S. men's national team. Stay with us. Part two is coming up. Quick word here from my friends at Hugh O'Connor's. Head over to Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 monitors, extensive whiskey lists, shepherd's pie, all the great bangers and mash. Hugh O'Connor's, the home of Houston LFC, the Liverpool supporters group. Get over there. It is one of the top soccer watching spots in all of Houston. Hugh O'Connor's. And also to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Leasing and buying a BMW is easy at Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll take you through the process. Get in a 3, a 5, a 7 series. Enjoy the ultimate driving machine. What about an SUV? Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered. Sales, service, finance, it can be done so easy. Get that Houston hometown advantage at Advantage BMW in Midtown. All right, so that was part one with Marcelo Balboa. Stay with us. Part two is coming up.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.